The Lord be with you. Well, you know, I assume they were practicing for the children's Christmas program yesterday, and the little voices needed to be amplified. Let's try that again. The Lord be with you. Welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. We are on our second Advent Sunday. We are counting down to Christmas. And today we have sort of an end of the world feel to our service and our readings. And that's a good thing. The Lord wants us to be ready today. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. He wants us to be ready always. And that means to be ready today. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 332, Savior of the Nations Come. We'll sing the first four verses of that at the beginning, and we'll pick up the last four verses at the end of the service. That's the hymn of the day for today. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. Divine Service Setting 3, that's on page 184 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side, propers on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And the only other note is that during this Advent season, we refrain from singing the Gloria and Excelsis, the Song of the Angels. We'll hear that anew on Christmas Eve night. And so we will go immediately from the Kyrie to the salutation. It'll seem odd, it'll seem like something's missing, and that's the point. And we'll pick that up again on Christmas Eve. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings of each new day. We thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house during this special season of preparation. This special season of Advent. Heavenly Father, there are so many things that cause us to worry. We worry about the cost of Christmas. We worry about family and friends and health and well-being. Fear surrounds us from the outside and even from the in. Heavenly Father, by the power of Your Word and the precious gift of Your Son, drive away all fear. Give us peace. The peace that the world cannot give. The peace that can come only from You. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, crucified and risen for us and for our salvation. Amen. Amen. Hymn 332, verses 1 through 4.
Amen.
Divine Service, Setting 3, page 184. Page 184, please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you pray and iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
Saints of the daughter of Zion, behold your salvation comes. Lord, and God is majestic, Lord, to be praised.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of Your only begotten Son, that by His coming we may be enabled to serve You with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord. We speak the gradual. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me but sacrifice. The epistle is from Romans chapter 15. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, O you, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol Him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel. Jesus said, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and you know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten. Being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The day, page 336. Please be seated. Thank you.
when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the Gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 21st chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, dear friends, in Christ. Is the world prepared for the last day? Does the world know that its end is coming? That the Savior it rejected will return on the clouds to judge the heaven, to judge the living and the dead? The strange thing is, I think this world does know that its end is coming. I think this world has an inkling that progress will not continue unabated forever. Deep down, this world knows that the institutions and technologies that it has put so much trust in will one day fail. My evidence? Movies, books, TV shows, video games, our popular entertainment is filled with stories about the world falling apart, about the end of our current way of life, the destruction of all those pillars of society that we cling to so tightly. The vision of the future presented in popular entertainment is not utopia, but dystopia. A ruined future, populated by villains and zombies. A world devastated by war, disease, ecological disaster. From WALL-E to The Hunger Games to The Walking Dead, this world, I think, has some sense, deep down, that the end is coming. Now, maybe these movies and shows are meant to be prophecies. Maybe they are simply meant to give expression to our deepest fears. But in some limited way, the world is reading the signs. And the world is terrified. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars. And on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The world fears the end, because all it can see is the sweeping away of everything that we hold dear. There is no safety in these stories of dystopic future. There is tyranny and oppression. There is violence and poverty. This is not a world that you want to dwell in. This is not a reality that you want to happen to yourself. And so people are then spurred on to seek solutions, to try and find some way to avoid the apocalyptic disaster that is coming. Everything from stronger governments to more powerful medicine to even things like recycling and doomsday shelters are all enlisted in the effort to avoid the disaster. But there is a fundamental problem with all of those solutions to the end. The end of the world isn't going to come from any action of man. And so no action of man can halt it. No action of man can save you from it. You see, the end of the world is what the insurance company calls an act of God. And the only solution, therefore, is repentance. Crying out to this God for salvation. You see, every minute that this world endures, including the minute we're in right now, is due to the patience of God over our sin. But eventually, that patience will run out. The only answer, the only solution is to turn from those sins which fix your eyes on this doomed world and lift up your heads towards God in repentance and faith, begging for salvation from what is to come. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down and dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. This world, as much as it may fear the destruction of everything that it relies upon, steadfastly refuses the only hope that has been given to it, repentance. Their help comes from somewhere else. You see, in these stories, these movies and TV shows, there's always the good guys, those people you're rooting for, who are working their way through this terrible, ruined landscape, and they are the ones you hope who will rebuild. There is always that promise of a new day, the resurgence of human culture, that from the ashes, society will rise again. At the end of the movie, The Book of Eli, Denzel Washington's character reaches an island, Alcatraz, ironically, an island where society has been preserved, where culture, this little outpost of culture in this ruined landscape. And there he gives them from memory a copy of the Bible, which they then put on the shelf, unfortunately, right next to the Quran. The message is quite clear. Hope lives on. Human culture will survive. Yes, there is much to fear, these movies proclaim. But there is hope, and it's founded on you and other humans, the heroes that you cheer for, the heroism that dwells within you. Salvation comes from you, and only from you. Together with the other heroes, you can rebuild. You can overcome the end. But that is where all these stories fail so utterly. You see, when the last day comes, you cannot save yourself. No matter how much ammo or canned goods you have sitting in your basement, I know some of you do, no band of spunky humans can save anyone on the last day. They have no ability to rebuild anything, for everything will be destroyed. The powers of the heavens will be shaken, Jesus says. They will indeed be shaken to pieces. You see, the problem with these stories is that the destruction is not total enough. All that God so carefully put into place, the order that once characterized creation, will utterly fall apart. This is no disease. No ecological disaster. It doesn't happen because we didn't recycle enough. This isn't even World War III. This is the unraveling of creation itself. Environmentalists tell us that we can destroy this world. They warn us that we're doing it right now. They're wrong. Man can't do it, but God can. And He will. The last day is complete, it is total, and the only Savior on that day is the one who is coming on the clouds to meet His own. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. The world should fear on that day. It is bowed low, engrossed in its sin, refusing to repent. When that day comes, there will be only fear, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. But for those who repent, those who believe, those who cling to the one who is coming on the clouds. That day will be a day of victory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Lift up your heads. Straighten your backs, dear friends. Do not be bowed down low with sin. Do not let this world drag you down into the filth. For the one coming on the clouds is the one who descended once before, who descended from heaven for your salvation. The one coming on the last day is the one who shed his blood for your sins, who rose again from the dead. The one who is coming on that day is your crucified and risen Savior. The angels told the disciples, as they stood there gawking up into heaven, "This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." The one who is returning from heaven on that day is the one who ascended into heaven, having destroyed sin, death, and Satan. So rejoice, dear friends. Rejoice to see these signs coming upon the earth. Now, don't get me wrong. We don't rejoice because people are suffering. We don't rejoice because terrible things are happening to our neighbors. We rejoice in what these events point to. The end of all sin. The end of all suffering when Jesus returns in glory. This world is coming to an end because your Savior is coming back. Rejoice to see this world hasten toward its end. Rejoice that your redemption draws ever nearer. The one who is coming is your Savior, your Lord, who forsook his rightful place at the right hand of God, took on human flesh, and submitted even to the cross for you and for your salvation. The one who is coming is Jesus, who gave his back to those who strike, gave his cheek to those who pull out the beard. The one who is coming is the one who loved you so much that he would not leave you in your sin. When the last day comes, so does your redemption. Do not fear. Rejoice. There is no fear for the one who is in Christ. There's only joy. There is no fear for the one who is in Christ, only anticipation of what is to come. The tumults, the terrors of this world, as horrifying as they are, as much as they may impact your property, your health, your life, they are signs that Jesus is drawing near. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Every natural disaster, every market crash, every outbreak of disease should cause us to rejoice that Christ is coming soon. Again, we don't rejoice that people are suffering. We rejoice that that suffering will soon come to an end. We cry out, "O Lord, how long?" In the midst of any instance of suffering, in the midst of any of these signs, and rejoice to know He is coming ever nearer. The signs tell us that this world will not last for long. There's no need to fear. The end of all these signs is your redemption. There's no need to fear. the end of all these signs is your Savior coming on the clouds. Jesus' advice, we heard it before. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Stand tall. Not bowed down by your sin, not bowed down by fear, not troubled by the terrible events predicted by the Scriptures. These signs must happen, but they are precursors to a reality that is indescribable. A reality without sin, a reality without evil, the new heavens and the new earth where you will dwell with Jesus, body and soul, forever. That is what the last day will bring. That is what we anticipate. That is what Christ brings with Him when He returns upon the clouds. Are you ready? You must be, for all the signs point to Christ's return at any moment. Every sign of the end that Jesus has given has happened and is happening right now. There's nothing left to be accomplished. Jesus can come at any moment, before the end of this sentence or the end of this sermon. He says it best Himself. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. The very point of a trap is that it goes off suddenly. Are you ready? The world would keep you drowsy with your eyes fixed on the ground. The advice of Jesus is to be awake, alert in prayer, with your head lifted in anticipation of His return. Stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Are you ready to stand before Jesus? The answer is in our text. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away. You are ready, dear friends, because you are in Jesus. You are covered by His blood. You are redeemed by His death. The only shelter on that day is to be in Jesus, for He endures though all else pass away. You are ready, dear friends, because you have a life in Christ that is indestructible. You have been claimed by the Word, which shall not pass away, which endures though everything else fail. His Word will not pass away. And because His Word has given to you the promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation, neither will you. For the One who is coming on the clouds is Jesus, your Savior, your Lord. In His name, Amen. We stand and we sing the offertory, page 192. We stand.
be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who is coming. Coming soon. We will look forward to that day. This time we ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and our offerings. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who has driven away all of our fears in Jesus would be yours today and always. Our service continues with the prayers of the church. Please stand as you're able. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God Almighty, your Son raised us up as children for Abraham when he baptized us with your Spirit. Give us the faith of our father Abraham as we await your Son's glorious appearing. May we live in true repentance and bear fruit in keeping with it. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your Son's winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will come soon to clear his threshing floor. Lift up the voice of his church to announce boldly your saving word. that many may be rescued from the unquenchable fire and graciously gathered into His barn. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As the God of encouragement and hope, grant us to live in harmony with one another, so that we may glorify You with one voice. Keep us from all self-righteous judgment that would cause divisions among us. Help us instead to welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You have sent forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, so that He might judge the poor with righteousness and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Until His appearing, grant that those who rule over us may enact just laws and faithfully enforce them, so that the weak may be defended and the wicked punished. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In our daily labor, You give us opportunities to bear the fruits of repentance. Let Your love dwell richly in us, that even in the lowliest of our callings, we might treasure every opportunity to do good for our neighbor and to bring glory to Your name. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Fill the sick and the suffering with all joy and peace in believing, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, they may abound in hope in the midst of their trials and sorrows. Heavenly Father, grant wisdom and skill to those who care for the ill, the weak, the suffering, the hospitalized, that they may be granted healing in accord with Your perfect will. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank You this day for the gift of life, for the gift of our life, for the gift of lives entrusted to us, and especially this day for the gift of new life granted to Pastor and Bethany Morundi, and the gift of a daughter, Rachel Lauren. Heavenly Father, bless mother and daughter until Rachel Lauren is born again in the waters of holy baptism later today. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In the great feast of Your Son, You bring us into His glorious resting place when we eat and drink His body and blood. In this blessed communion, fill us with the knowledge of You, so that we might live now and forever in Your peace. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy through Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194. Service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Truly meet, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming Him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when He comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God,
pray together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, body of Christ.
Strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing the last verses of hymn 332, hymn 332, 5 through 8. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord and Savior Jesus. Kids, you can go and get some goodies. We'll be back in here for Sunday school opening in 6 minutes. All right, 6 minutes, 9:20 sharp. We got a lot to cover. Christmas program is coming, and our Christmas program is 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today, we had practice yesterday. We have practice again this coming Saturday, and so we want everybody to be able to participate and have a part and all that kind of stuff. It should be a really, really good time under the theme of Hark the Glad Sound. You're all invited for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We have two opportunities for Bible study today. We're starting a new Bible study in the fellowship hall on the formula of Concord. Our emphasis on certain things as we begin the 500th anniversary year of the Reformation, which we'll celebrate in October of 2017. We've got lots of stuff building up to that. So that'll start today. Summary of Christian Doctrine, room 109. What are we studying today?
Lord's Supper.
Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper. Awesome. Awesome. It has been a really, really wild and crazy and hectic week around here. Baby Murundi took a long time in coming, and last Sunday evening she made her burst onto the scene, and so Pastor Murundi's been a little bit elusive this week. But at 10:30 we will gather and rejoice and celebrate Rachel Lauren Joy Murundi's rebirth in the water of holy baptism. Congratulations, and thanks be to God. Is your life a little bit closer to normal now? Okay. I offered to preach today. He wouldn't take me up on it. So check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. Lots of activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. We have Christmas caroling next Saturday. Details are in there. We'll gather here at the church at 11:30, eat some soup, and then go out and sing for the shut-ins and nursing homes in our congregation. This evening is the fundraiser dance for our radio station, and you can come even if you didn't buy a ticket, but if we don't know you're coming, we might not have enough food. All right, so I see Corey is sitting out on the table. It's from 4 to 7. You don't have to dance. You can just come and listen to the big band music if you like. So that's a great opportunity to support KNNA 95.7. Listen, and I'm sure you're going to love what you hear on the radio. Pastor, anything else? New member welcome next week. Next week, 8 o'clock service. Okay, so we'll have an opportunity to officially welcome and greet some of our newest members. That's why today is finishing up the summer Christian doctrine class. All right, makes sense. Vicar, here's your chance. You sure? All right, yeah, all right. Okay, please join us for coffee and goodies. Wednesday evening Advent services. Have a great day and a fellowship meal as well from 5 to 6:15. Have a great day and week in the peace of the Lord.